all the way to the back. All the way to the back. Actually, I need to get there. Cool. First John. Going the wrong way. Right before Revelation. Oh, man, the Bible's missing a bunch. Cool. Well, First John. Cool. So let's go ahead and open this up in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for another day, another opportunity, God, just to serve you and to be a blessing to you, for you've blessed us greatly already. You've done so much for us already, Lord, just by giving us breath and by giving us light. Lord, we lift up this day to you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that whatever we do throughout our day, that we just be a blessing to you and that we put a smile on your face, not just once, but continually throughout the day, Lord. Lord, be with us here as we gather before you, Lord, and just fill our hearts with great words and convict us if need be, and just really speak to us in this time, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we lift this day and this teaching up to you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Cool. So, you guys have heard the saying, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk, right? Yeah? Or here's one of my favorite ones. Could you back that up? I used to love saying that. Growing up, I was always saying that because I was always getting picked on. And these people would pick on me so much. They'd say that they're going to beat me up. And I'd be like, could you back that up? And not only would they say that they would beat me up, but they would say how they're going to beat me up. I'm like, really? And so I'll just ignore it. And I'm the type of person who will let somebody talk trash until the point where I can't take it anymore. And I'm talking, you know, it takes a while for me to pretty much explode. And sometimes it would get to the point where me and this other person, whether it's a classmate or a brother or just random people I don't even know, it would just get to the point where we'd end up fighting because they would just talk so much trash. I'm like, dude, all right, I've had enough of that. Back it up. Back it up of what you've been talking. Now let's walk the walk. Let's dance. And so most of the time, they would not be able to back it up. I would end up beating them up really badly. And that's because I was always getting beaten up by my brothers every single day of my life. Well, I'm the youngest. It's not fun. You're right. And it was only one brother that would beat me up every day. The other brother really wasn't around. He was always working or doing something. So it was the middle brother who was beating me up every single day. So when other people tried beating me up, no, it's Dominic, my other brother. Huh? Yeah. So my brother Dominic would beat me up every day so that when other people would talk trash and want to fight me, I knew how to fight because of it. So it was pretty cool. But you can see that talk is cheap. Talk, it gets you nowhere. You got to be able to back it up with the walk, with how you do it, with how you live. If I were to go out to the basketball court and I could say, I'll stand at one end of the basketball hoop, I'll shoot it clear across the other side, and I'll make it guaranteed. You'll say, yeah, right. I'll put money on that you won't. We'll go out there. I won't even come close. I'll probably make it halfway down. And I won't be able to back up what I've said, right? So talk is cheap. In the long run, it speaks way louder than your words. And that's what I've entitled this message. Your actions speak louder than your words. So let's look at our message, our text, and we'll see what I'm talking about, okay? Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. Okay, so let me elaborate on that. He's saying that which was from the beginning. Those first six words, some people think that he's talking about creation. I don't believe that, and here's the reason why. Look at the key words behind that first comma. They're action words, they're verbs. Heard, seen, looked, handled. John has physically done this with Jesus. And he's talking about Jesus' ministry around the Sea of Galilee, the Galilean region. He's talking about that which was from the beginning. He's seen, heard, looked, and handled. And I want you guys to think that. Try to grasp this idea. What must have that been like for John, the other disciples, and the thousands and thousands of other people that seen Jesus, that looked at Jesus, looked at God, heard God talk, seen Jesus, seen God work in a miracle. And when they say looked, he stared at him. What must have that been like to stare at God? Or to touch him, to put your head upon his chest?
It's kind of like if you met like a famous person.
Yeah, you would go crazy.
You got to talk to him, looked at him. That person's kind of cool. But, after the resurrection, to realize that he was God.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's awesome. Like, if you've ever met somebody, you're like, I'm never washing. And let's say you got your shirt autographed by this person. Like, I'm never washing this shirt again. Or you shake their hand, you're like, I'm never washing my hand again. That's what it must have been like for the apostles. Like, man, what? I can't even think what that must have been like. I've tried to, and it just doesn't happen. Not necessarily. But think about this. God washed their feet. God washed their feet. God in flesh washed the disciples, the apostles' feet. Man, how awesome. And he's saying concerning the word of life. So he's concerning the word of life, and we know that the word of life he's talking about is Jesus. As it says in John 1:14, you guys don't have to turn there. You can write it down if you want to. But listen to this. Listen to what John says in the Gospel of John. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Listen to this verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word becomes flesh. The Word becomes life at that point. It becomes life through Mary, through Jesus Christ. Verse 2. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Who knows what manifested means? Huh? Appear? Right.
Reveal.
To make visible, right? So, let's read that again. The life was made visible. And we, he's talking about John and the other disciples and the apostles, have seen. They bear witness. They're able to say that they truthfully bear witness of Jesus, the Word becoming flesh. God manifesting. And notice that he says that they declare to us that the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So eternal life was and always will be with the Father, but it was made visible to us by Jesus Christ. And the way it was made visible to us was by Jesus' perfect sinless life, God in flesh coming down to earth, willfully dying, and taking up the cross. So,
he never sinned. Well, didn't his parents tell him to stay with him and not leave? Did he leave the chapel to go teach the
preachers? Friend? That is a good question.
Well, it wasn't disobedience. He's talking about the time when Jesus was in the temple. His parents couldn't find him.
And she knew that he was from God, so.
Mary just had to, as Luke has reported, that many things that Mary had to ponder in her heart about this boy of hers.
Nice answer. Okay. So, eternal life was manifested to us through Jesus Christ upon the cross. He willfully broke, his body was broken. His body shed blood and went down the cross on earth. And he willfully took up the most embarrassing form of punishment at that time. If you were to get crucified, you were looked down upon by society. You're supposed to be embarrassed. Jesus, I don't think he was embarrassed. And 3 days later, he defeated death. Not even death could hold Jesus. So that's how eternal life was manifested to us. Okay? Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's talking about, he wants to have fellowship. And fellowship is actually the theme of 1 John. Fellowship barometer. So, let me elaborate on fellowship for you guys. Do you guys, first of all, know what it means to fellowship? Okay. Fellowship has two ideas. A positive relationship that people share. Here's the other one. A participation in common goals or interest. So, the Greek says it best. Kinonia, the Greek word kinonia means common, one, communion, and fellowship. And that gives a much broader sense of what fellowship means. So today, it's just not going to be just a teaching. We're going to partake in communion. And that was something we don't do much in, especially on the weekend service. But we're going to partake in communion. We're going to come into fellowship with God. And we remember through communion that God was manifested. God was made flesh. Now, he shed his blood for the remission of sins. He willfully gave up his body and his blood so that we don't die eternally, that we may have eternal life. But that's later on. I'll go more in depth on that later on. Verse 4. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. These things we, like here he goes again with the word we. Him and the apostles and the other Christians, saying that they're writing this letter so that your joy may be full. Well, here's the thing about joy. Joy is a constant. It's a constant feeling in your life. And happiness, it's not like happiness. It's much greater than happiness. Who's always happy every single day? Cool. Who has joy in their life? It's more constant, right? We get pain. We start maybe crying. Don't feel so good. Get sick. We're not always happy. But we could always have that joy in us. And this is what Jesus said in John 15. Turn with me to John 15. Fourth book of the New Testament. Look what Jesus says. Fourth book in the New Testament. Cool. Wrong book. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Verse 11. Verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you may love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. He's our friends. He calls us friends. He calls us. And he laid down his life. And he calls us friends. God calls us friends. And we're able to call him Father and friend. This is important that you have fellowship with God every single day. Through prayer, through reading the Word. Invite God to be with you, to hang out with you, like if He was one of your best friends or your homie. But He's more than that. Have Him sit with you while you're on the bus, while you're in class. Have Him walk with you. Play your sports. Ride your bike so you don't run into walls. I'm kidding. But He's saying that this life, Jesus wants us to have a joy in our life. And that He'll bring us this joy. And only God, Jesus, could bring us this joy. No drugs, no partying, no amount of money, no material possessions, no new clothes, no new iPod, PS3, new Razer phone, no nothing is going to bring you this joy. For all of that is temporary. But the joy that Christ brings is eternal. It's every day. It's constantly happening in our lives. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him, Jesus, and declare to you that God is light, and in Him no darkness at all. Let me ask you guys, what is the message He's talking about? Anybody have any idea? He's talking about love. The greatest commandment. And so, turn with me to chapter 3, and we'll see what I'm talking about. John does a good job of elaborating even more. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, verse 11, that we should love one another. This is the message that we've heard throughout Jesus' life, throughout Jesus' ministry. All the commandments and all the laws and all the prophets could be summed up with love. A simple word, love. And I've never found such a greater love than the love of Christ, the love of God. No amount of anything. And he's noticed that he's saying that he's calling Him the light. He's saying that God is light and in Him no darkness at all. He's not saying that God is a light, but God is the light. And some people might say that God sinned. That would mean if God sinned, then God had darkness. If God had darkness and sinned, then our faith, our relationship with God is void. Our eternal life is then void. No, God is light. And it's also describing His character, His nature. In Revelation, it says that there will be no heaven, or in the new heavens and new earth, there will be no moon and no sun. For the glory of God will light, give illumination. Amazing. That just says it all. Verse 6. We're in verse 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Do you guys catch that? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It's an oxymoron. It's a false claim. It's a contradiction. You can't walk in light and walk in darkness at the same time. It's one or the other. Yes, sin is darkness, but however, are you continually walking in it? Are you striving better not to sin as much every single day? And so, yes, we all sin every day. I sin. Each and every single one of us sins every single day. Am I right? Oh, wow. You're a liar. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, exactly. So don't ever let anybody say that they don't sin, they don't mess up. If they didn't mess up, they wouldn't put erasers on pencils. So we have to walk as best as possible to continually walk in the light. Even though we mess up once in a while, we stumble. God will pick us up. Just let that darkness be taken away. Now, this might have happened to you. You're already going to sleep. Your phone goes off. This little tiny phone lights up the whole entire room. Yeah. So, and the darkness has to flee.
At night, I'll go in with my cell phone and I click it so the light goes on. And the
yeah, it's amazing. This little light gets rid of the darkness. So awesome. And you can't walk in darkness and in light at the same time. At least, I've never been able to. Galatians 5:19-26 says it best. I want you guys to look at this, write it down, write this passage down, and look at this on your own. It's Galatians chapter 5, verses 19-26. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19-26. But look at those. Study it. Examine it. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, he's talking about godly character. If we walk with godly character, then we have fellowship with not only each other, but also with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. How much is all? Exactly. Cleanses us from all sin. It doesn't say 90%, most of, just about all, but he's saying all sin. It cleanses us from all sin. Yikes. Sorry. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we get fellowship with God. Remember that Adam was walking in perfect fellowship, perfect unity with God in the Garden of Eden until Adam sinned. Fellowship was broken, not just for Adam and Eve, but for every single person on earth. And the only way that we have fellowship now with God is through Jesus. We have to go through Jesus first to get fellowship with God. And it's with Jesus that we get eternal life, that we live forever. We inherit heaven. It's where we surrender. It's at the foot of the cross where not one person is greater than the other. Where I'm just as equal with President Bush, with Adolf Hitler. I'm just as equal, and no, me or him is not greater than the other at the foot of the cross. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's another false claim. Some people might say our sin nature will go away when we come to salvation. No, our sin nature won't go away, and sin won't go away until we get our glorified bodies. That's later on, way after the rapture. Verse 9, listen to this. I love this verse. This is a memory verse of mine. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amazing words. We have to confess with our mouth, confess with our heart, our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we're going to, before we take communion, I want you guys to do this in private. Confess your sins. I'll go in more in depth than that in a second. But get right with God before you take communion. I'll explain that in just a second. Verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Romans 3:23 says it best, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, John calls us children. These things I write to you, so that that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So when I hear those first three words, I think of what does a father do? He feeds us, instructs us, guides us, protects us, strengthens us, allows us to grow, shows us how to live, what to do, and so forth. And that's what I get from this. And he's saying that he's writing to us that we may not sin, but if we do sin, we have an advocate. The word advocate means helper for us, a defense attorney. And it's with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Look at verse 2. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins. Not for our sins only, but for the whole world. Who could tell me what propitiation means? Anybody? Big word, huh? Cool word. Anybody? Propitiation means covering. He paid the price and covered our sins with his blood. And how much is the whole world? How much? All of it, right? Exactly. Yeah. It's so many people. It's every single person. And the, is it 8 billion already? I thought it was at 6. Something. Billions of people. Let's just say 7. Oh, no. Okay. But listen to this. He's a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Yes, he gives salvation to all. He offers it to all, but not all will take it. Some willfully choose to not to accept Christ. Here's a question for you guys. Have you guys accepted Christ? Now, we're going to go into communion. Brandon's going to come up here and sing a song. And as he's playing that song, I want you guys to think of some of this verse real quick. I want you guys to examine yourself, confess your sins if you haven't done that in a while, or any sins that you might have done today. Get right with God. Listen to this. This is found in 1 Corinthians 11. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." His body is broken for us through the beating that he had to suffer. In the same manner, he, Jesus, also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is my cup. This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood that was shed upon the cross. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So guys, as Brandon's playing the song, you guys can sit where you're at. You guys can go stand in the corners, grab another seat. Go confess to God. Examine your heart. Get right with God. If you guys haven't made the decision to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, I don't want you partaking in this. If you haven't confessed Christ as God and you haven't come to salvation and you're not saved, don't do this, because you'll be eating this in an unworthy manner. And if you want to get right with God and come to salvation, it's a simple prayer. Just say, "I give up. I'm a sinner. You died for me. I want to start living for you and not for the world." Get right with God before you take this. So as Brandon's playing this song, search yourselves, examine your hearts. Confess with your hearts, confess with your mouths. Cool? All right, Brandon, take it with you.